Here we go.
Boom. Mitchell Henderson is with us this hour, and he's with us every Monday, but next Monday, when he'll be on next Tuesday. We have a lot to talk about, and I would urge you again, if you're at all interested in the crisis that the world is literally facing, the thermonuclear crisis, which is ultimately where this is going to end up, one way or the other. We're going to be right on the doorstep or right in it, one way or the other. The top of the homepage, I have military summary videos. I put them up every day. I don't know who this gentleman is, but he is really good. And he really obviously is getting some outstanding information from the Ministry of Defense in the Russian Federation. He's got contacts. And his map of the conflict, this enormous line of contact, is updated constantly. He explains it. He intersperses it with videos that are geolocated. They're new videos. They're exact. There's an area he calls Bradley Square, which is in the Zaporozhye region. And he's calling it now a cemetery for Western-made armored vehicles, tanks, APCs, artillery systems. They're just being destroyed by the Russians all over the place. Massive losses. And I still think that Zelensky is doing this all with utter intent. He is weeding out potential Christian opposition in the military. He's killed them all. He and his handlers, probably 400,000 plus, no accident, and they have a nationwide conscription. Conscription is awful. That means they'll grab you off the streets, and they're doing that, forcing these poor people into the Ukraine military and throwing them into the meat grinder. So Bradley Square is a cemetery of tanks and armor. They're just blown up pieces all over the place. And that's where your tax dollars are going, friends. Mitchell, welcome back. How are you?
Good to be here.
All right.
So,
go ahead. Go ahead. Jump. Okay. Who are you?
So after the Wagner mutiny and after Ukraine's counteroffensive failed, many European governments are not very happy about wasting more money in Ukraine. NATO gave Zelensky high expectations of the NATO summit in Vilnius, Lithuania, at first, but as the great mother of counteroffensives failed, NATO has scaled back on its promises to them. At one point, Zelensky said he wasn't even going to go because lots of countries don't want to give him so much support. Now NATO wants to set up a Ukraine-NATO council, and individual NATO nations will give Ukraine security guarantees, according to the president of Lithuania, Nausėda. He says, Ukrainians are quite right to ask why they are not members of NATO today. Where did these delusional people come from? What idiot would welcome a nation at war with a nuclear superpower to become a member of their alliance when they're in the middle of that war? It's just insanity.
Yeah.
You know, this is a serious move. The United Kingdom chair of the Defense Select Committee stated, "We are now at war in Europe. We need to move to a war footing. We are involved in that. We mobilized our procurement processes. We are gifting equipment. We need to face Russia directly and recommend rather than leaving Ukraine to do all of the work." Keep in mind, the United Kingdom doesn't have a military anymore. Its military is ineffective, combat ineffective. They went crazy. They want 50% women. They don't want any white males in their military.
I know.
So, it's no good. They can't even get people to come. They want all the people that don't want to be in the military, basically. So Romanian NATO's Deputy Secretary Mircea Giurana said that Ukraine and NATO will reach a new level of relations at the Vilnius summit, as the NATO-Ukraine Council will be created. Polish President Duda said, "We hope that a firm decision will be made by the Allies that Ukraine does not need any preliminary membership action plan, that it does not need any preliminary path to join NATO in the future, but this path will be shortened for it." He's not speaking for all of NATO, though, because Hungary doesn't want it. There's lots of countries in NATO that never, under any circumstances, want Ukraine in NATO. And it just takes one country to keep them out. So Putin has dithered and given NATO an opportunity to take the initiative in the war. Putin would not escalate, so NATO escalates. Why not? For NATO, war is the goal. They will not stop until NATO is facing Russia directly. They will not stop until we are all dead, which is the Zionist goal, to kill us all, okay?
That's right.
Remember, they want to kill Christians, they want to kill white people, they want to kill Muslims, okay? This will be a long ways towards their goal. So why is NATO getting so aggressive? Because Russia is showing itself as weak. Russia is showing themselves to be complacent. Weakness always invites attack. Strength deters attacks. The failure of the counteroffensive is so embarrassing for Ukraine that the National Security Chief, Alexei Danilov, said that Ukrainian forces will have a new mission. Instead of trying for territorial gains, they will focus on the maximum destruction of Russian military personnel and hardware. So now they grasp that what Russia has been doing, focusing on the destruction of the enemy's army. There is nothing like realizing the primary goal of your armed forces a year and 5 months into a war. But they don't have the ability to do this. They can no longer do their new thing than they could do the old thing, regaining territory. While Zelensky is talking about suspending elections so he can remain dictator, he is finally getting some criticism at home, and there is talk within Ukraine to replace him. The Ukrainians notice that Zelensky is undiplomatic. He's disrespectful of other nations' official decorum and protocol, showing up in sweatsuits to address other nations' congresses, meeting foreign leaders dressed in the same sweatsuit. Yeah.
Right.
In other words, Zelensky thinks it is casual Friday when meeting with foreign leaders and addressing foreign congresses and international forums. He also demands to speak at inappropriate venues like the Oscars or the Golden Globes, as well as Britain's Got Talent award show. They all told him no. He thinks he's still on TV.
He does.
Okay.
He does.
So photos are beginning to be circulated widely of Zelensky in drag or doing homosexual acts. Stories of him sexually molesting and sadistically torturing small children are circulating. Of course, we will just call this Russian propaganda. Searches, however, show the sources to be private citizens with no connection to Russia. People detest him, and many view him as a nuisance and would like him gone. This is widespread in Ukraine. Who do they want to replace him with? With Ukrainian Defense Minister Oleksiy Reznikov. They say he has lots of military experience. In fact, what military experience does he have? From 1984 to 86, he was a sergeant in the Soviet Air Force. Without trying to insult anybody, he spent 2 years as an enlisted man in the American Air Force and thinks they know how to run a war against a first world military power. George Carlin had 2 years in the Air Force. Did he act like a master strategist? Chuck Norris had 2 years in the Air Force. He undoubtedly can kick ass in the fight, but he has never pretended to be a master strategist. A trained and experienced infantry sergeant knows tactics, but an airman is not taught tactics. A lieutenant in combat arms of the Army and Marines will be taught tactics and become proficient with it. Not until I became a captain in the Army was I taught operational art at the Combined Arms and Services Staff School, what they call CASQ. It took further intense studies and experience for me to have a decent grasp of strategy. So what is Reznikov's real qualification to become president of Ukraine? He is a Zionist Jew. It seems that Ukrainians are not qualified to lead their own country. Look, we have had Zionist Jews running our country for 2.5 years, and look how well we are doing. The current Zionist government of the United States has turned us into Sodom and Gomorrah, and our pedophile government wants to have sex with our kids. The White House Chief of Staff is a Zionist Jew. So is the entire White House staff. The Secretary of State, Treasury, and Homeland Security are all Zionist Jews. so our nation has no protection from our enemies. As a matter of fact, the only real enemy that the people of the United States has is the Zionist government of the United States. They are our enemy. My sources tell me that Putin is finally preparing to go on the offensive. We will see. Why do I have my doubts? Okay, well, retired Colonel Gennady Alekhine said that the Sumy and Kharkov regions could become a part of the next stage of the special military operation. He said that their task was to accomplish denazification and demilitarization, which cannot be achieved through defense. This bodes ill for Russia. The goal should be to defeat the enemy in detail, not some nebulous goal of denazification. Nazis don't threaten Russia. That is not a real threat to Russia at all. Attacking on the Eastern Front, where 90% of the Ukrainian forces are dug in, is plain idiotic and a waste of human life. Attack where the least resistance is. Cut off logistics to the Ukrainian forces by cutting off their relatively unprotected rear. I'm totally unimpressed by what this military analyst is saying. It is a losing strategy that lacks focus and clarity. Mm-hmm. Okay, but mm-hmm. Now step back and keep this in mind. Okay, in war, deception is critical. Okay, in order to achieve surprise, you have to have deception. Right. A good example of this would be the 1973 Yom Kippur War in Israel. Okay, so that the area along the Suez Canal, there's no vegetation there. It's just open desert as far as you can see.
Nowhere to hide.
The Egyptians hid an entire army in the sand. What they did is they went forward on maneuvers. They pitched tents. They dug out dugouts and stuff. They kept tanks and troops and everything in those dugouts. And then they covered them up, you know, just by putting a tarp over it or whatever, throwing some sand on it. Covered it up, built up the forces, and then on the day they were ready to go, they popped out. They had water cannons ready. They used the water cannons to bring the sand down on the other bank of the Suez Canal, and they rushed across. They caught Israel by surprise. Israel had American intelligence working for them. Israel had excellent intelligence themselves. They had people standing along the Suez Canal with binoculars and telescopes watching. And the Egyptians were able to deceive them and able to achieve surprise, okay? This is probably the best surprise attack ever made in history, okay?
Wow.
So it can be done, okay? Mm-hmm. So just think of this. In order to have a surprise, you have to mount a massive deception campaign. Okay, so what did we just see mounted here recently? We saw the Prigozhin mutiny. That was on the 24th. Putin was sitting around talking to Prigozhin and his commanders on the 29th. For 3 hours, he had an audience with them. Okay, what came out of that? It's not a secret that he had an audience with them for 3 hours. But what Dmitry Peskov said is, well, what was discussed is private.
Private.
Okay.
Yeah.
So keep this in mind. I mean, I may sound kind of like like I'm disappointed and stuff. But then again, mm-hmm. if there's deception in order to achieve surprise, mm-hmm. I am also a person who's not going to hear this. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. just I know that this happens through my military background. Okay.
Got it.
So don't worry, don't obsess too much. I mean, this could be something that they're doing. Deception and surprise saves lives, and that is something that Putin likes to do. He doesn't like to just throw his troops' lives away. Okay, not like America does, and not like Ukraine does. So. The question came up of a rigged war. Sources from Israel have revealed that Naftali Bennett, the former prime minister of Israel, went to Moscow and Kiev at the outbreak of the war and got assurances from Putin that he would not kill Zelensky. He set ground rules for the war. In return, Zelensky would not attack Russian soil. Looks like that deal has kind of fallen apart. Okay, I've heard from many sources that this is a Zionist-controlled war that has the objective of both killing millions of people to prepare the world for the Jewish Messiah. Remember, the Jewish Messiah can only come after Christians, Muslims, and white people are exterminated. Zionists are on all sides are profiting greatly from the genocide of the Ukrainian people. Okay, what makes this credible?
They are.
Since the disgusting and incestuous pedophile Biden regime has taken power, the government has taken steps to crush anti-Semitism. Do you remember all of the attacks on Jews and synagogues that we that have been happening, or of crisis proportions? Yeah, neither have I. Do you remember in the past few years how many Jews have lost their jobs because of the religion or ethnicity? Yeah, neither have I. Can you see how many Jews are underprivileged and marginalized? I see the exact opposite of that. They are by far the most privileged and the most politically and economically powerful ethnic or religious group in America.
And less than 2% of the population, Mitch. Less than 2% of the population.
Yep, and they are the very opposite of underprivileged and marginalized.
Right.
As Voltaire said, you can tell who rules you by who you are not allowed to criticize.
Oh, Voltaire.
You know,
good.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Now, listen, there was an article today in the newspaper saying Ron DeSantis is not doing very good. Like, Trump is 31 points ahead of him. Mm-hmm. And, well, the newspaper will never understand why. But I think the reason why is because Ron DeSantis made a big issue of standing with Israel and standing with the Zionist Jews. And I think he has lost support.
He has. He went over to Israel to sign a Florida state bill, for goodness sakes. Come on.
Do you do that? You may not criticize Israel or Jews in Florida, but you can criticize America and Americans all you want. You know, what's wrong with that picture?
Everything. Here, look, it's all about Israel. Zionism and the Mossad. Understand, the Mossad is probably the most powerful intelligence operation on the planet. It's huge. It's big. It's powerful. It's ruthless. Think. That meeting with Prigozhin several days after the group, the PMC Wagner, aborted a mutiny. It was no mutiny.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a revolt. It was theatrics.
Of course it was theatrics.
Dmitry Peskov said today, as Mitch was implying, that the meeting between Putin and Prigozhin was a meeting that lasted 3 hours and 35 different people were invited to it. Does that sound like some kind of a showdown between someone who led a revolt and the president of the Russian Federation? No, it was a tactical meeting. Look, arguably, the Wagner PMC military is the most effective fighting force in the world right now in terms of battle-hardened tactics, strength, resilience, leadership, esprit de corps, you name it. The Russians need the Wagner PMC, and they have a role, and it's going to be quite clear very soon. You wait and see.
Keep in mind, in this deception, all the news coming out of Russia says, well, the Wagner Group has been dissolved, that it's over,
right.
They raided the offices, stuff like that. This is deception, people, okay? So I hope to be pleasantly surprised in the next few weeks, okay? So this is both Democrats and Republicans who do not want you to criticize Jews or Israel. You are free to criticize America and Americans. So please tell me who is really in charge of our nation. It is not us. Just like in Ukraine, Americans are not capable of running this government. Only Zionist Jews can run it at this point, okay? Because it's not our government anymore. Nobody elected these people, okay? So let's go a bit further. This is from a report from Newsweek magazine. In January 2022, before hostilities broke out, CIA Director William Burns flew to Moscow to get Russia to play by certain rules when he invaded Ukraine. These were supposed supposedly the rules set out by the old pedophile Biden himself. This is DEI, folks. We're going to give Biden credit for all kinds of stuff that he is incapable of thinking of doing, okay? So the first rule was that Washington and Kiev will not undertake any actions that might threaten Russia itself or the survival of the Russian state. The second, in return, Moscow would not escalate the war beyond Ukraine or resort to the use of nuclear weapons. However, Zelensky has not been following Biden's rules. The CIA is just as in the dark about Zelensky's thinking and intentions as it is about Putin's. This article could be a CIA signal that Zelensky may be replaced. Okay. The CIA is presently trying to come up with another narrative to blow up the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant. The Russians are picking up the chatter and know that the CIA really wants to do it, to act as a reason for NATO to enter the war. My friend in Morocco wrote and told me that Russia is so evil that they blow up their own petroleum pipeline, they blow up their own ammonia pipeline, and now they want to blow up their own nuclear power plant. He was being sarcastic, of course, but
yes.
Yeah, it's beyond credibility. Zelensky
by the,
and
by the way,
SBU.
By,
yes.
Quick note, Mitch. If anything happens to the Zaporizhzhia plant, which has six reactors, biggest nuclear plant in Europe, anything happens to it, it'll be a U.S.-NATO attack of some kind. You can count on that. Not even up for discussion. However, Russia has also made it clear that the three other nuclear power plants in Ukraine could easily be leveled in retaliation. That may be what's holding the Ukes back. Don't know. They got three more nuclear power plants in Ukraine.
Oh, yeah. But Zelensky doesn't, you know, Zelensky's like the guy who never gets punished for anything, so he just does what he wants. So
it's
Zelensky
true.
And the Ukrainian SBU want to blow up the nuclear Zaporizhzhia power plant as a false flag to get NATO directly involved in the war. This would be the very worst nuclear disaster in history, and would kill and sicken millions. Zelensky wants it to be a dirty bomb that has radioactive isotopes in the warhead to make the plant unfit for use even into the future. Zelensky publicly warned that Russia is going to blow it up. However, the IEA, the International Atomic Energy Administration, they are there. And they said, well, there's no explosives. There's no mines. There's no explosives on the roofs. There's nothing to show that the Russians intend to do any such thing. Okay? And this is the UN. And the UN is against Russia. Okay? They're against them. They clearly are on the side of the woke Zionists. Okay? But they had to tell the truth. You know, it's just there's nothing there.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So this was supposed to actually happen around the 4th of July. That's when Zelensky wanted to do it, okay? So so what's interesting is Military Summary did a survey which revealed that 52% of respondents think the Ukrainians will look for a way to force NATO to enter the conflict by blowing up the nuclear power plant at Zaporizhzhia. A full 62% believe specifically that Ukraine will attack the nuclear power plant. Okay, so it's like he fools no one. German political activist Kim.com tweeted this weekend, Zaporizhzhia will be the worst and most obvious false flag by the U.S. government in history. The world may come to regret having allowed the U.S. get away with so many crimes and lies like the WMDs in Iraq, Nord Stream, etc. Humanity may pay the ultimate price for such foolishness. End of quote. Okay. When the Ukrainians do this crime against humanity and nature, the Western press will blame Russia. We will believe it. For example, Hunter Biden visited the White House. An hour later, the Secret Service found a package of cocaine. The press says we may never know who brought the cocaine into the White House.
Of course,
I think I can say for sure that the most likely suspect is Hunter Biden. Of course, some poor janitor will have to take the fall. The Bidens are where they are today because of all the innocent lives they have stepped on. Yes, tens of millions of people would refuse to believe that the only likely and realistic suspect leaving the cocaine did not do it. Okay? We are at a point now where the government tells us absurd and ridiculous lies, and they actually expect us to believe it, no matter how lame. Just like we are supposed to believe that, although we can clearly see that there are male and female, that it is an optical illusion created by a social construct. Just like race is a social construct, and my eyes are lying to me when I can clearly see white, black, and yellow people. So this has a very real potential to turn into a nuclear war. If Ukraine does this, radioactive dust will drift into Russia proper. Russia will see it as a nuclear attack on Russia. If Putin will not push the button, someone will have the moral courage to do it. Actually, there's people in Russia that assure me that somebody will do it, even if Putin won't.
I would think, by the way, Medvedev has that authority.
Yes, he does. He can do it. So Russians support Putin, but they are growing weary of his timidity in the face of an existential threat to Russia as blowing up the largest nuclear power plant in Europe. Men of action will step in. Okay,
question.
That means the death of most of us, though. Yeah.
Question. If I don't honestly understand, number one, this whole line of contact counteroffensive has been planned by the best military minds in the Pentagon and in NATO. Understand that. They are recruiting mercenaries all over the place, Middle East, Europe, the U.S. They are recruiting mercenaries to fight in the Uke Army. The tactics,
yes,
and strategies have been an abomination, a colossal failure. That's the best the West could throw at the Russian military. Now, we know what the Wagnerians did, the musicians in Artemovsk or Bakhmut. They went in there and cleaned it out. They did it right. They did. That's the only shining example of real military competence in a decided fashion I've seen yet. In the Russian ranks, I've not seen anything. They're holding the line, they're fighting off, they're withering away their enemy. I get that. That may be a tactic. Okay, that's fine. Why, Mitch, does Kharkov, Odessa, and Kiev, why do they still have electricity? Why do they still have drinking water? Think about it.
Well, they still have it because Putin is not attacking civilians in this war. I mean, we hear the propaganda that he is, but honestly, he is not. He has no intention of doing that.
He can take out the water.
Krematorsk.
Yeah, he can take out the waterworks and the electricity in those three cities and make a very big point without having to do what I suggest. Mm-hmm. He gives them 36 hours to evacuate the cities, and then he levels them. That's how you win a war.
Right.
Stop playing the game. This is patty cake time. They're not doing it.
Well,
the
best way to do the
World
war is
War One.
They can just do a blitzkrieg into Ukraine, take it over.
They could.
Probably,
they could, but
you know,
not.
I would say 2 or 3 weeks, but I'd say they could do it in a few days. There's nobody that's going to fight them. All the troops are over on the Donbass. Western Ukraine is wide open. Northern Ukraine is wide open. They can just invade. They can
walk right
take it. They can cut off all supplies going to the Ukrainian army. Okay, but I think Russia is a little bit. I think they're a little bit surprised too, because you have to realize on this counteroffensive, the Russians had a plan. The plan was that the frontline troops, which is not the first line of defense, they don't even call it that. It's just the front troops. Okay, they were supposed to be highly mobile troops that would put up a token resistance, fall back, and let the Ukrainians come down to the first line of defense, which is like 20 to 30 kilometers south.
Right.
But they can't even get past the economy of force minor frontline troops that were not even supposed to fight very hard. Okay,
right.
So the Russians are a little surprised at the weakness of the Ukrainians, too. And you're right. The people planning all this, the people making the plans, are diversity, equity, and inclusion officers from the United States Army. Okay? And these are the same officers that we spent 20 years in Afghanistan fighting illiterate, poorly armed Taliban farmers, okay?
Right.
And we
That's
could
right.
not win there, okay? We didn't even win in Iraq, okay? It's like our performance as a military is pathetic. It has been for a long time, okay? Because, well, they just, you know, you're seeing how good we are. If we can't do anything to help Ukraine, what are we going to do when we're in a direct war with Russia? We're going to get our butts kicked is what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Oh, yes. Yes, yes. Yeah.
So here's the thing. I think that Putin will kick off an invasion sometime after July 12th, but before NATO can actually get any additional troops into Ukraine. Okay. So let me just go over some intelligence indicators of American intentions. With NATO discussing sending American troops into Western Ukraine, which will require a major deployment, what is the U.S. doing to prepare for this? I mean, such a deployment would require some sort of American military and industrial mobilization. I've seen no signs of this. The service that will send the most troops is the Army. The April 2023 issue of the Army Times reported an article titled, "The Army Keeps Getting Smaller," that the Army is getting smaller by a drop of 21,000 troops. That's two divisions of soldiers, giving us the smallest army since before World War II. Okay,
wow.
We had a small army back in those days.
Yeah.
Officially, the Pentagon wants to spend more money on defense industries and less on troops. This, they think, is a good idea. Or should I say, Northrop Grumman thinks it's a good idea to spend more money on them. They speak only of increasing the Army by 4,000 soldiers by 2030. Okay? Just today, this is an example of what's wrong with us. Today, USA Today, the front page, has an article called "Fit Camp Helps Recruits Meet Army Standards." What it is that that nobody has, nobody can pass the Army test, and nobody has the physical strength to do anything. That's because we teach our kids the joys of anal sex instead of teaching them how to read and write and think. Okay,
that's right.
So the
that's
picture, true. The picture below this is a picture of what? A room full of female black soldiers. No whites, no men in the room. These are the people they want to put in our military. You know, my sons had told me that when they were in the Army, this is 2012, 2013, that they were talking that the future Army is going to be 50% female, period. Okay. So the United Kingdom and Germany also have rapidly shrinking armies. Why is American, British, and German armies shrinking? Because they do not want to recruit straight white males, because they are the real enemies of the Army. Germany dissolved its special forces last year because the troops were white supremacists. That means that they were straight white males, and people of color, feminists, and LGBT people cannot possibly compete with them. They want to have women and LGBT people in special forces, okay, which is absurd, okay? Standards definitely have to be lowered to meet DEI goals. I can see it for myself. So many military people are fat now. I have not seen so many fat soldiers since the Vietnam War, when they would take anybody. The female soldiers all appear to be fat. This is a visible sign of the standards being lowered. Soon, the only thing that may be required is a pulse. So why
did
is this happening? Several weeks ago, General Stanley McChrystal remarked that the U.S. Army needs to focus on preparing to control the people of the United States. What he means is white people, and that is why they don't want white people in the military. Remember that General
exactly
McChrystal thinks Biden is a good, sober, moral man who always speaks the truth, compared to Donald Trump, who he calls a liar and immoral. hey, Trump would not molest your kids, General. Biden would in a heartbeat, okay? A good friend of mine has been tracking military deployments to white areas of the country. He thinks something ominous is afoot. Well, the fifth seal of the apocalypse opened the day that the sodomite, Bolshevik, pedophile Biden became president, and this signals the persecution of Christians. They need sodomite soldiers in order to do this. The bottom line is we do not seem to be getting prepared for an invasion of Ukraine, but our army is notorious for going to war unprepared. Okay, I mention this because of this. How do we get the army to 50%? Well, what if we get, well, if we're unprepared for war and we need a draft? Who are they going to draft? They want to draft females. Okay, they want to open the draft and draft females to fill the ranks and stuff. Okay, because remember, these soldiers are going to be used against us. And if you, they've done interviews with soldiers already. Your typical white male soldier takes his oath to the Constitution to heart. Okay. Female sergeants say soldiers would gladly shoot white people down in the street and stuff. They have no problem with that because we won't allow them to have abortions and stuff.
I know. Did you, Mitch, see the video yesterday? I had it up. I'm sure many others did. Of the two New York women LGBTQ cops. These are big bull dykes, two of them. And they tried to arrest a black guy. The guy was shorter than they were, skinny guy, and they couldn't take him down. Finally, he turned and pulled, and they both fell down on top. They fell on top of him, and some other security guard came up and helped them cuff the guy. Tough, tough butch dykes. Couldn't take down a skinny little black guy. This augurs catastrophe for the military. We won't have any.
Well, listen.
We may not now.
This is just an anecdote, but back when I was a police officer in Tampa, Florida, when I was in the plainclothes unit, I was driving to work one day, and, well, I tried to pass, but another car was coming, so I ended up clipping the car in front of me. And so we pulled over. It was a female driving the other car, and I was, you know, driving my car, and it was a civilian car, not a police car. So a bull dyke police officer came, and so as far as she knows, I'm just a regular, everyday citizen. So she went and interviewed the woman first, and the woman said, said what happened, whatever. And then she came up to me, and this is how she approached me. She says, quote, "What's your effing problem, buddy?"
Ooh.
Is that the way police officers are supposed to talk to
highly
people?
Highly professional.
No.
Highly professional.
Yeah, highly professional.
Wow.
Well, I flashed my badge to let her know I was a police officer, and her countenance changed. And she says, "Oh, let me go get rid of this C over here, the C word for the woman."
Really?
Okay, I don't know if I'm supposed to say that on air, so I'm
no, you got it. We got it. That's funny. That tells you the story.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, DEI back in the 80s also had the issue that they were hiring black officers and stuff too. Well, one of the reasons I don't live in the South is because when I was a white police officer working with black police officers, they were allowed to brutalize and be rude to white people all they wanted to. And I worked with black officers who said they would never lift a finger to help a white person, ever. Okay.
And this is in
1980s. And they were, it's like I got into a thing. I was trying to get a key out of a car of this drunk guy, and my arm got caught in the wheel, and he decided to take off. He'd already given me the driver's license, the idiot, but he was driving off down the road with me. My black partner just stood back there watching, hoping I'd get run over. He just ran over my fingers and stuff. But then we went and arrested
your
him
partner.
Later because we had his... Yeah, my partner just
partner.
Let me do it. Right. So I know that black officers will abuse white people. And so I decided to move out of the South. I just don't want to live around black people because... when they're in power, they will abuse you, okay? They're out for revenge. They say so and they do so, and they're not held accountable for that.
That's okay? 43 years ago. Imagine the hate. Imagine the bountiful harvest of hate now that is within many, not all, black police officers. Many, but not all. I can't say all. I don't know
I worked with some black police officers that were just fine. They took their job to heart. They were going to support
the
Constitution
and everything,
too. I get it.
Yeah, sure.
So, but all it takes is one bad one to ruin your life, actually.
Right.
So, you know, we're talking about way back when this stuff started. You know, one of the shows that I used to really like is the Lethal Weapons series with Mel Gibson. Now, Mel Gibson he's not a woke person. He's not a Bolshevik. Okay, he is the opposite. He has been the target of their ire. Okay, but he starred in these movies. So let's go over them. Lethal Weapon 1, the bad guys were Vietnam veterans, and the bad thing was heroin. Lethal Weapon 2, the bad guys were white South Africans, and the bad thing was gold. In Lethal Weapon 3, the bad guys were policemen, and it was firearms that were the bad things. In Lethal Weapon 4, the bad guys are the Chinese, and the bad things are the Chinese immigrants being smuggled into the country. Okay, so you can see this starts, I think, 1987 is the first one. So way back then, they were already introducing this DEI through the movies to people. It came to the movies to people. Just looked at the store today. They had Life magazine has a thing out called Heroes of World War II, men and women who put their lives on the line. So there was 21 heroes. 6 of these heroes were heroes that saved Jews. 4 were politicians. 4 were females. 1 was a group of artists. 1 was a Native American unit. 1 was an Asian unit. And there were 2 anti-fascists plus an all-black unit that fought in Italy. And, of course, 1 dog, okay? But of all of them, if you leave everything else out, there's just like 1 white guy that was considered a hero, you know? And he's a hero probably most people have never heard of, okay?
Not even
you
Artie
have
Murphy,
to have somebody
no.
like that, because all these other people were people that you didn't necessarily hear of either, you know? Mm-hmm. But it's pure propaganda.
Yes.
Pure propaganda. DEI
people
propaganda,
don't understand
you know?
how much Hollywood has shaped this culture, has shaped America, has shaped the thought of the people. They're created their horrible decay and decline in terms of morality now. I guess full frontal male nudity now is very common in movies. I don't go to movies anymore, but I've been told. First guest tonight, Don Jeffries, knows a lot about movies. He said this is very common. No women, full frontal nudity for men. This is the pedophile agenda at Hollywood. This is the LGBTQ+ pushing that crap through in movies. Completely unneeded, completely gratuitous, totally unnecessary for any movie storyline. You don't need it. But they're putting it in there. It's part of the brainwashing and the destruction.
Well, you know, I did not see this coming. I did not see this coming myself. It's like back when I watched the Lethal Weapon movies, well, I just looked at it as entertainment, this fiction. But now, in retrospect, I can see they were setting it up. I'm sure Mel Gibson didn't have any idea that he was participating in cultural Marxism by making those movies. But
he didn't know.
He was just a young actor back then. I mean, you look now at the trash. There's so much trash in the movies. It's sort of hard to, you know. It's like I used to enjoy movies. I used to like to be entertained. But what I don't like is I don't like this nonsense, lies, fiction being put out.
Marvel comics.
I can put up with
comic
books.
Absurd. Come on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. yes, going all the way and stuff. But what I didn't see coming, I did not see that, I did not realize back in the 1980s that LGBT would be the pretext for persecuting, killing, and disenfranchising Christians. Because you see, Christianity is against LGBT. I don't care how many churches sell out to LGBT, but, you know, here's the thing. The scriptures clearly says that this is an abomination to God. And why bother going to church? Because, you know what? None of these people can go to heaven. There's no gay people in heaven, okay? It's like the only way that an LGBT person can possibly go to heaven is if they find Christ and they quit doing their LGBT. Because, you see, one of the things that, like when Christ says, go in peace and sin no more, he's not just ordering you to sin no more. He gives you the power to sin no more. Okay, these people can stop being what they are. I remember back in the 80s watching Phil Donahue on TV. He had these lesbians and gay men who had decided to become straight. Yep. They yep. had become straight. And he condemned them. He says, what are you doing to your fellow LGBT people? You are heaping coals on them. You are destroying their lives. I mean, they were harshly criticized on his show for wanting to straighten out their lives.
Moral people.
Know? I mean,
they
listen, this is a time when AIDS was eating up the LGBT community. And everybody was encouraging everybody to be LGBT. Well, you know, we should not be surprised now because, AIDS will kill a lot of LGBT people. But, you know, so does the COVID bioweapon.
You bet.
The vaccination is meant to kill people, too. Our government has always been into killing people, okay? So, you know, this is... when I look back, it's a long process. It started really in the United States in 1936 when the Frankfurt School of Cultural Marxism moved here to Columbia University in New York City. So it's an old thing, but it took a while for it to spread and become popular. Now all of the professors that did this cultural Marxism thing, they're all Zionist Jews, every one of them. There's nobody who was a cultural Marxist leader who was not a Zionist Jew. You could say the same for the Bolsheviks in 1917 Russia, too. Okay, this is an evil force in the world. Zionist is Antichrist. Zionist is Satan. It's not just a group of people who want power over all humanity. It is Satan and Antichrist itself. Okay, these people are unbelievably evil. Okay,
I know.
They mean us harm.
Did you see the story, Mitch, about Brown University? The incoming students at this old and allegedly hallowed Ivy League school, 40%. Identify on their application forms as LGBTQ. 40% of incoming students. 40. That's the story. I ran it yesterday.
40%.
40.
Yep.
And look at the overrepresentation of American Jews in these Ivy League schools. It's 2% of the population, and yet they compose something like 25 to 30% or more of the incoming students at the Ivy League schools.
Oh, and the professors
overrepresentation.
Also.
They own it. They own the whole thing. Yeah, they own it.
Sure.
Man. Now, they knew how to take it over. They did. Long time in plan. They knew about greed. They knew about the weakness of the masses of people. They understood that.
Yeah.
And they took over and created the entire media industry. And look at Edward L. Bernays, right? Jewish nephew of Sigmund
Zionist
Freud.
Jew. Yep.
He taught Americans that you have to have breakfast. It was him. We weren't eating breakfast every day like most people. We didn't eat it.
Yeah.
Now he's teaching people bacon and eggs for breakfast every day. And women this and women that. They laughed. They laughed at all of it because it was so easy. Smoke cigarettes. It was so easy. It was no pushback.
Getting women to smoke cigarettes was a big thing for him.
Exactly.
That was a major effort that he made.
You got it.
To do this. So, yes, this has been going on for a long time. One of the things that I have made it a habit of doing, I like to say Zionist Jews, because there are Zionist Christians that help them. For every Zionist Jew, there's five Zionist Christians out there backing them
40
up.
40 million plus in America.
Yep.
40 million.
45 million in America alone, Zionist Jews. I mean, Zionist Christians.
Christians,
you know, I've met Jews who are not Zionists. You know, they're sort of working class Jews and stuff, but, they're nobody important necessarily, but they exist. It's like, you know, we can't forget that there's Zionist Christians out there, and Zionism means Antichrist people. They're opposed, okay? Judaism and Christianity are opposed, okay? Zionism is definitely opposed to Christianity because Zionism is Judaism without God. Okay.
All right. Very good, Mitch. Thank you again. Excellent overview. And we'll see what happens. Talk to you next Tuesday. You be well.
Okay.
Take care.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Mitch Henderson. Great report. Back with you tomorrow night, 21 hours from now. Stay well. And we'll talk then.